Many of you are familiar with the Divine Science course of study offered by this church. The first lesson taught is the basic principle of Divine Science class, or as some call it, fundamentals of Divine Science. Now, at some point in the training, the assignment asks the students to consider the nature of God in this way. Is God personal or impersonal, or is he both? Now, some of the students are certain this must be a trick question. However, we assure them that it is not. The thing is this. Some individuals have been involved in the teachings of other churches, forming opinions concerning God's nature and availability. They may consider God as a father figure, looking for comfort and support. Others may approach God as a deity, someone to worship and pray to. On the other hand, perhaps he is more or less a spiritual Santa Claus, one who grants wishes and bestows favors. They seek their God in a personal way. Divine Science offers a version of God as omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. We accept this idea of God based on Jesus' descriptions of him as spirit, as not of this world. To seek after him is to turn within, to the kingdom that exists in the heart and the soul of every man and of every woman. God is all-powerful, almighty, creator of the universe and everything in it. God is the movement of the wind and the rain, the intuitive guidance that instructs the bird to fly south and the bear to hibernate in due season. The God of spirit is not subject to form or to the demands of the human nature. The God of Spirit knows each one of us as his beloved child, as that one of eternal life. We are alike in God's eyes. He created each one of us in his image and of his likeness. This is God's impersonal attribute and characteristic, his impersonal nature. Impersonal in that it is the same for all. God does not have favorites, nor does he discriminate. God planted our divine nature, that holy right seed, in all of us. When we seek the God of Spirit, we are one with the creative movement that established the universe and everything in it. We are one with the activity that maintains and sustains us. And this is where God becomes personal. Nature is the core or reality of anything. It is the reality of us. It is our name and how we are known. Which brings us to the nature of God. God's nature is good. It is love. It heals and restores. When we turn within to the God that is not of this world, the one of spirit, we are one with his good, his love, and his wholeness. Now it becomes personal. It is ours, and we have consciously claimed it. Not because we earned it or even deserved it. Not because God did us a personal favor or felt sorry for us. No, we are one with our good because God is our Father, our Creator, and this is our spiritual birthright. Dr. Max Ballard, a former minister of this church, described God's nature in this way. He called it a healing presence. I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, In other words, I will prosper. I will heal. I will bless. Before you call, I will answer. While you are yet speaking, I will hear. This means that God is available and dependable. He never withholds. God's impersonal nature is eager to express as every good thing. However, in order to make it personal, we must allow it to work through us. We must allow the consciousness of God's presence to flow through us like a river. Let the love of God pour through us as sunlight pours into a room. He made each one of us as an instrument of His very being. Therefore, it is necessary for us to express His nature, to become Godlike in our love, in our joy, in our personal integrity. When we fulfill the purpose of our being, God's impersonal nature does indeed become personal. Regardless of the nature of the good, it has to come forth through the consciousness of an individual. God is both impersonal and personal. This is not a trick question. At first, this may seem a difficult task for that student taking the basic principle of divine science class for the very first time to consider. In order to personalize God's nature, His good, we must impersonalize what does not belong to God's nature or God's good. That is, we must let go of fear, of concern and anxiety concerning our life. We must release the established pattern of erroneous thinking about God again, and about His life and us. The true student learns to practice in this way. We do not stress over the loss of a job, a relationship, or the death of a loved one. Oh yes, we may grieve for a while, reflecting on what is over, understanding there is a purpose and a lesson to be learned. However, rather than consider it an end, we recognize it as life moving us through its fluctuation of experience, its joy and its sorrow, its delight and its regret. Nevertheless, regardless of the experience, we are still that one of eternal life, that one of spirit. Affirm the infinite invisible that is the source of all being as the reality. That loved one that moved on is simply in a new form, a new garment, adventuring into a new experience. With conscious knowledge that God is our source, the job is simply the avenue through which our good appears. And when it is over, a new avenue of expression will appear. We soon realize that should any so-called loss arise, it is but a momentary experience of the day. You see, the principle that brought into existence what appears to be lost continues to function. And in due time, that inner voice reveals, I will prosper. I will heal. I will bless. Let us remember that the qualities of God's nature are spirit. They are invisible. Let our prayer be the recognition and realization of invisible good, omnipresent and omnipotent. Give no thought to the form. Give all glory to God. The student, that one taking the basic principle of divine science class, could begin by taking a quality of God and study its nature. For instance, Dr. Salazar gave us a lesson on love. Our Bible reminds us that love is another name for God. Love with us and in us is our Emmanuel. Love is our Christ, our Savior, our Father within, the Lord God that healeth thee. Love is the Spirit of God expressing through us as the wisdom of our decisions and as a sense of peace. In this love, there is no fear, no sense of lack, because whatever the fear is, it is dissolved, and whatever the need is, it is met. He who formed the eye, can he not see? And the ear, can he not hear? In every sense of the word, God expressing through individual consciousness becomes the health of the body, the peace of the mind, and the harmony in our environment, as if to say, remember, before you call, I will answer. And while you are yet speaking, I will hear. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you. This is God's nature fulfilling itself. When we have made God's impersonal nature personal, we can affirm in this way. It is love within my own mind that is saying, I will go before you, making every crooked place straight. To understand the nature of our being is to understand the nature of pure spirit. Therefore, if there is a problem in our life at any kind, it is because we have not yet traced our nature to this infinite source that created us. At all times, you and I live and move in this source of unlimited substance. Its only function is to pour itself through the mind of every man, woman and child on the face of the earth, according to their beliefs, in direct proportion to how they think and feel about people, places and things, about situations and conditions. This unlimited substance that is forever pouring itself through each one of us, it cannot be stopped from flowing through us by anything that we do or fail to do. All we ever do is determine the quality of the substance. We cannot stop it. It can never be otherwise, for it is ever saying, even this very moment, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is yours. All of it. Which means there are no rewards or punishments in life, only the consequence of a law that we set in motion by our most secret beliefs. You and I are the only controlling factors of what our lives are to be. There is no outside God. There is no outside power or force that has ever done anything to you or to me, except through the activity of our own consciousness. Therefore, regardless of what it is that we are going through at this moment is the continuation of that divine spirit which created us in the first place, and it is being determined by where we are in awareness. Actually, if this lesson were to end right now, and you found yourself on some deserted island, you have at your disposal the very thing to change your experience. You see, all we ever deal with is God and the degree and quality of God that we allow to flow through us. Right now, if there is a problem of health, of supply, or of happiness, it is simply because we have yet to learn the nature of God and where we fit in God. Our Bible tells us that God fills heaven and earth, the within and the without of every living thing. Remember, to study the nature of God, we contemplate the qualities of that nature. Let us continue with the attribute of love. We discovered that God's love is impersonal in that it is available to all humanity. However, to receive it in an intimate way, we must make it personal. God is love, and we are of God, which means that when we love, we are in complete harmony as one with the very soul of the universe, in complete harmony with life itself. Our Bible tells us, "He who dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Now rest assured that love, this love of God, is not human emotion, and it is not human affection. Rather, a stirring takes place within the individual, a deep desire to give impersonally and impartially. When this stirring occurs, it must find a way to escape and fulfill its nature. This something which takes place in the individual, it has to be shared. We have to release it and let it go. The poet and mystic Khalil Gibran wrote, "Work is love made visible." Now, is this your experience? It has not been for many people. However, the work he was talking about is what Dr. Salazar would identify as our life's work, as opposed to be doing something because of a salary. That is, to express our innate gifts and talents as a means of service, and not merely for material compensation. Some individuals are not aware there is a difference. Nevertheless, there is a difference. Life's work is doing what we would be doing regardless of salary, because it is done from the heart. It is our inclination. It is our life's work. When love is a motivating force, that is all that matters. It is giving of ourselves, of our abilities and capabilities, fulfilling our nature. Whether it is working with law, the practice of law, or in the practice of medicine, whether it is working with people or working with our hands, this work is love made visible. Salary becomes incidental because love itself is the reward, and it shows. There is nothing when you do it in love that people will not notice. People know. In love, there are no time clocks. In love, there are no job descriptions. We do the work because the need is there for it to be done, and we are there to do it. It is this love. It is what we freely give without limit, which becomes the bread returned unto us multiplied. Freely you give, freely you receive, and that is the key. Where the Spirit of God is, where love is, it permeates the environment. Our Bible gives us an example of how it works. Jesus was standing in the middle of a crowd of people, and he couldn't possibly know everyone who was around him. And yet, a woman, a total stranger, manages to get through this throng, through this group of people, being on the ground and heading toward him. Jesus could not possibly know that she was there. Now this woman touches the hem of his garment, and she is healed. Did Jesus make any conscious effort to heal her? No, he could not in the first place, because remember, he did not even know she was there. Read the story. He was merely standing there being himself. In other words, abiding in a consciousness of God, a consciousness of love. It was not what he was doing physically or mentally, but where he was in consciousness. He who dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. Jesus was simply allowing this love to flow through him, doing its perfect work. This is the Father within, the Christ, the Savior, that doeth the work. Now, there's no indication in the story that he directed the Father to do anything or to heal anyone. For instance, he did not say, "Mrs. Smith, down here on the ground, please heal her." Not at all. Nowhere is there any indication that he attempted to use the power of spirit to do something to another power. Rather, where the Spirit of God is, in that mind and in that moment, someone receives a healing. There was no power in the garment of Jesus to heal. The power lies in consciousness. And this woman opened herself to this consciousness and she was healed. The purpose of today's lesson is to reveal that any individual who consciously abides in this healing presence will be the channel through which God's infinite blessings flow. One with God, one with the universe, we fulfill our divine nature. I go before you, making every crooked place straight. This morning we have the opportunity to lift our consciousness and behold only Him. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we claim a moment of silence. In the silence, we are in God's presence. God is here, right here, in the midst of us. Whither shall we go from His Spirit? If we find us on the highest mountain or at the bottom of the ocean, lo, we will find Him there. Awareness is a state of consciousness, and when we turn our awareness inwardly, we see only Him who created us. We carry our consciousness with us wherever we go. So at any moment, at any time, we may pause, stir up the remembrance of the Father's house, which is our true home. This pearl of great price, conscious awareness of the truth of our being, is ours when we seek it above all else. Gifts of the heavenly riches are our divine inheritance, freely given from the storehouse of infinite blessings. God's impersonal nature is available to all humanity. And when we claim that nature, it does become personal. We have an intimate relationship with God, and no one can take it from us. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge Him, so that He may lift your consciousness and give you His peace. Amen.
Praise God in all beings. Praise Him for word and for my His. Praise Him, all ye His truth proclaim. Sing joyful praise unto
in peace and have a blessed week.